Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic has expressed dissatisfaction and concern over a Ukrainian court ruling sentencing a former interior minister who served in Yulia Tymoshenko's cabinet to 4 years in prison. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has said that his education minister's concession on college tuition is only one of several alternatives. And Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Peek of Public Affairs has said her party is hoping for constructive negotiations with partners in government on the issue of the VAT rate and other reforms. The Czech Republic has expressed dissatisfaction and concern over a Ukrainian court ruling sentencing a former interior minister who served in former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko's cabinet to 4 years in prison. The court sentenced Yuri Lutsenko for alleged embezzlement and abuse of office. His former boss, Mrs. Tymoshenko, is serving a 7-year sentence for alleged abuse as well. The Czech Foreign Ministry on Tuesday expressed concern over the ruling, saying that Mr. Lutsenko's trial, like that of his former boss, was far removed from European standards and principles regarding human rights. The European Union, as well as the United States, had already condemned Mr. Lutsenko's trial. Mrs. Tymoshenko's husband, Alexander, and her former economy minister, Bohdan Danilishin, have already both been granted asylum in the Czech Republic. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has said that his education minister's concession on college tuition is only one of several alternatives. He added that it would not be possible to begin private funding of the higher education system in this electoral term. The introduction of college tuition had been one of the government's policy priorities, but Education Minister Jozef Dobeš backed down from that on Monday amid furious criticism and protests, suggesting that fees be raised on secondary and extended college programs instead. Under the new proposal, the standard length of study would be covered by the state. Fees for those who study multiple college programs would increase significantly, up to 26,000 crowns per year. The original plan called for tuition of up to 10,000 crowns per semester with the option of student loans. Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Peek of Public Affairs, the smallest party in government, has said her party is hoping for constructive negotiations with fellow partners, Topo 9 and the Civic Democrats. She added that her party was putting forward no ultimatums. The party deputy leader outlined that Public Affairs is against the planned unification of the VAT rate at 20%, as well as a complete freeze on pensions proposed by the finance minister in the aim of slashing the deficit. The party, she said, was also against the cutting of maternity benefits and against planned budget cuts at the education ministry. The country's center-right government is looking for ways to slash debt in the face of meager economic growth projected for the coming years. And in related news, the opposition Social Democrats want to initiate a vote of no confidence on the government in the Chamber of Deputies over the additional austerity plans to slash the growing budget deficit. The party chairman Bohuslav Sobotka said as much on Tuesday. The leader charged that the current center-right coalition government was incapable of handling the task. Economic ministers agreed on Monday to save state expenditures by increasing the VAT to a unified rate, as well as to have income tax levied towards the wealthy and to limit pension indexation. The Social Democrat has made clear it will try and call an extraordinary session for a vote of no confidence in March. However, the leftist opposition does not command a sufficient majority in the Chamber of Deputies to realistically topple the government. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's all the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, students are holding a week of protests against proposed reforms in the education sector. We'll look at the issues at stake. Then we'll take you to an exhibition by artist Krzysztof Kintera in Prague City Hall. In Czechs in History, we look at the life and work of animator Jiří Trnka, and we'll wind up our half-hour show with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay with us. The The student protests that formed a key component of the 1989 Velvet Revolution serve as a stark reminder, even more than 20 years later, that the imagery of any Czech government upsetting its student population is going to create a major headache. Recent reforms proposed by the Czech Education Ministry under Pavel Dobeš have achieved just that. Students are crying foul, with banners draped in universities across the country accusing the government of putting profits before education. This week, many Czech students have undertaken matters a step further with a self-titled week of protests against the legislation. Tuesday sees students attending countless workshops and debates while protests marching on the offices of the Czech government are scheduled for Wednesday. Dominik Jun spoke to Charles University student Matoš Turek, one of the organizers of the protests, and began by asking him to explain the background behind the controversial legislation.
Well, there have been two laws proposed by the Ministry of Education, and these two laws aren't very well prepared. They are basically a very rush effort to get a bang into the situation. And the first one is just a reform of the system of university education in the Czech Republic. And the other one is reform of the financing of students. So student loans, which is connected to the first law, because the first law presupposes a system of paid university education, public schools, which is something new to the Czech system.
So what are your main issues with this legislation? How would it negatively affect the Czech education system, in your view?
First thing is that it changes the whole system of autonomy of universities, and that's totally unacceptable to us. Because if you look at Czech politics, it's all a matter of lobbyism and influence, background influence. And this would just institute this into the university system. The universities are one of the last places where lobbyism and political influence hasn't yet entered. Another thing is the effort to change the financial situation, which is terrible, to change it with a simple pouring in the money from the students. And that's just not the way to do it. And we've seen it in England, where people are starting to have problems to pay their loans. As for the financing part, we feel that it's just a help to the banking sector and not the society.
And do you think that the government has been surprised by the depth and size of the protests that have arisen around the country by students?
Definitely there's been some reaction, finally. Because when it was the academia and the officials taking action, it wasn't considered that huge. But now that the students have come in, I think it's changed the view of some of the politicians, that there is actually votes in there. It's people who may not vote for you ever again.
And there's been some word recently that the Education Minister Dobeš may be looking to somewhat change the legislation. What are the changes he's suggesting, and do you feel that you're getting through to the government?
He's retracting some of the claims on the financing, which is definitely positive, but it's only the financing. And it's sometimes said in the media that the students are concerned with the money. But it's not the main issue. I think that autonomy is a greater issue, really. So there is no step back in that sense. So there is no reason for demonstrations to be called off. Because if the economic lobbies get into the tertiary education, that's probably the end of the autonomy.
Student protester Matoš Turek speaking there to Radio Prague's Dominik Jun. Turning now to the world of art, Krištof Kintera is one of the most respected contemporary Czech artists. Indeed, he was recently awarded the title Artist of the Year, and his new exhibit offers an insight into his latest work. Provocative, whimsical and daring, the Výsledky analýzy show is one of the season's most interesting exhibits. Sarah Borůvka went to have a look ahead of the opening.
A devil mock-up plays drums, a chair with eagle wings in motion, just a few of the many provocative pieces on display at Krištof Kintera's newest exhibit titled Výsledky analýzy, or Results Analyses, which opens at Prague's City Gallery in the Municipal Library on Wednesday. The title of the newest show by Kintera, who ranks among the most respected Czech artists working today and has recently been awarded the title Artist of the Year, is a term that is often found in the world of business rather than in the arts. Why did he choose to call it results analyses? I put the question to Kintera himself at a recent visit of the show ahead of its opening.
Exactly
for this reason, because at first it confuses the visitor to encounter a term from the world of business. And I like the fact that the title is rather vague. It is not an impressive or innovative title, but I wanted to perplex the audience by using this unexpected economic language for my exhibition. And in the end, it is the result of an analysis because art analyzes the world that surrounds us, so de facto, the title is actually rather apt.
Analyzuje svět kolem nás, takže de facto to vlastně sedí.
Kintera's work attacks visitors' senses on all fronts. Some of his pieces are moving sculptures, many incorporate sound, light, or both. His signature tongue-in-cheek style is dominant even in this latest exhibition, although he had announced before that he was going to step away from sculptures that incorporate moving elements.
Já nemám úplně jasně vymezený strategie jako právě svět biznesu nebo tak, takže
I don't have a clear strategy like those people who work in the world of business. Yes, I did say that I was not going to make moving sculptures anymore, but in the end that didn't happen. I would say that one of the core pieces in the exhibit is the devil, which is mechanical, and I won't go into what the piece is like exactly. I think the devil is all around us, even though fortunately where we live the evil is not as evident as in other areas of the world. I started working with this archetype because it is one of the few remaining and surviving archetypes today, similar to Santa Claus or the snowman. Those are the anchors of my childhood that I subconsciously return to, the few remaining fairy tale figures that we are still confronted by today.
Pohádkových vlastně hrdinů nebo praktických věcí, s kterými se ještě setkáváme.
Aside from the actual pieces, viewers of results analyses can also see sketches that outline Kintera's work process, as well as surprising installations that play with viewers' expectations of the site of the actual exhibition. It runs until May 13th. Sarah Borůvka with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, as regular listeners know, Tuesday's Czech History brings you a closer look at important events in the country's history and its leading personalities. Today, Dominik Jun looks at the life and work of a man whose films many generations of Czechs grew up with, Jiří Trnka, the founding father of Czech animated film.
This February marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of one of the Czech Republic's greatest animators, puppeteers and illustrators, Jiří Trnka. This milestone is being marked in the Czech Republic by the country's National Film Archive, its Prague-based Bonrepo Cinema screening a collection of Trnka's films and documentaries about the artist until March the 16th. Czech centres around the globe, which exist to promote the Czech Republic, are also marking the anniversary, heralding an exhibition called Jiří Trnka in Service of the Imagination, which kicked off in Munich and also runs until March. Trnka has often been described as the Walt Disney of Eastern Europe. I asked Michal Bregant, director of the National Film Archive, if this was a fair statement.
Well, totally not, because Trnka was so much rooted in the Czech history, in Czech mentality, in Czech visual style. So really, he was famous, and he is globally famous, but he has nothing to do, and he's incomparable to Walt Disney.
Jiří Trnka was born in the city of Plzeň in 1912. After studying in Prague, Trnka began to work in the theatre as a set designer, but eventually began to entertain viewers with his own puppet shows. In 1945, he and several colleagues set up what they called the Trick Unit, and over the next few years began to make a series of animated shorts. It wasn't long before basic animation shifted to Trnka's preferred stop-motion puppetry, utilizing real models meticulously moved and photographed one frame at a time. Over the next two decades, Trnka made six feature films, including 1947's Špalíček, 1950's Bajaja, and 1955's Good Soldier Švejk. Trnka also made countless short films, including perhaps the most famous, 1965's The Hand. As Bregant notes, Trnka was a methodical auteur.
Maybe rather abstract, but when we say that he was absolutely responsible towards his own talents, I think that is very appropriate. For example, when he finished his own version of Midsummer Night's Dream, which is a very complex and beautiful feature-long puppet stop-motion animation film, he decided to cut out like 10 or 15 minutes long scene of I don't know how many couples of puppets dancing. So if you only imagine what kind of work it was to get all those puppets dancing for 12 minutes, and all the puppets had five fingers on each hand. You know, now animation characters have typically three fingers. His puppets were really not caricatures of humans, but they were very human, they had certain psychology in their physiognomy. So that was his responsibility to leave that, because he said, look here, the film is losing pace, the rhythm is not really working, and it's not supporting the story. So he just cut it out. You know, so it's something that an animation filmmaker would not typically do.
In a recent Czech television retrospective, Trnka's daughter, Helena Trosterová, recalled how her father worked.
He had great manual dexterity. Even as a child, he was already making puppets. His mother was a dressmaker, so he had access to fabrics and other such materials, and he taught himself to sew. He was also a very skilled, self-taught woodcarver. He basically taught himself to make puppets from scratch, including their costumes. So later he could tell seamstresses exactly what kind of costumes he wanted, and he always painted the heads of the puppets by himself. But the oversight went beyond that too. He wrote his own scripts, directed his own movies. All he needed, apart from himself, was animators and musicians. My father didn't have a studio anywhere else, so he worked from home, and we children could go in there whenever we wanted. This is something he wouldn't permit adults to do, but we children were allowed to watch, to comment, to critique. In the morning we'd see something that he'd created overnight and were allowed to express our views on it. He valued our critiques, even though there really weren't any, as we always liked all of it.
Trosterová also recalled her favorite film from her father.
My favorite film is Bajaja, and there's a personal perspective here, as I feel that it was in this film that he somewhat presented his own life story. The prince that has to do battle with a multi-headed dragon, and before he achieves some kind of victory and gets the princess, a great deal of energy has to be expended and much work undertaken and many battles fought. And this multi-headed dragon, that's in comprehension of his work and battles with authorities, even on matters of censorship. Basically, it was every possible hurdle that you could put under his feet. And I don't think that it was just a matter of the communist era, as he somewhat managed to skirt around that in part, but I think that there was also some envy there, as he was one of those people that everything he touched he could execute well.
Michal Bregant noted that finding keys to Trnka's personality in his work was something of a rarity.
Trnka, as an artist and author, he was not obsessed with himself. He was not autobiographical, but I'm sure that we can find some of his maybe personal little details in many of his films, that the concept of a hero, of an individual human being, of an artist, is something that maybe has some undertones which are rather personal.
The 1965 short The Hand is often cited as one of Trnka's greatest films, but its undertones, the story of an artist trying to make a pot for his favourite plant, having his creativity stifled by a giant hand, upset the authorities and ended up being banned by the communists. Michal Bregant again.
The hand was made in 1965, so it is the time when the Czechoslovak new wave was blossoming and many critical and politically committed films were made in Barrandov in Prague at that time. So we can say that there is this free spirit and certain social political criticism in it, but something pretty rare in animation films. It's something that you would not probably find in animation films anywhere in the world at that time. Trnka himself, I would say he was used, if not abused, very often by the authorities, by the government. When they were sending his films to the international film festivals, he would typically win the competition. And I would say that Trnka was sometimes used as a triumph of the communist cultural politics. They would typically say, look, the Czechoslovak government is supporting film industry and all the artists and filmmakers are able to do whatever they want.
The Hand proved to be Trnka's last film. As the artist returned to his other love, painting and illustrating, he passed away in 1969 at the relatively young age of 57. Michal Bregan believes that the Soviet invasion of 1968 may have played a role in the artist's early death.
He had some lung disease and he had big problems breathing and he was a heavy smoker and so on. And he lived, I would say, very fast lifestyle. But I would say that in late 1968, 1969, 1970, there were several people who I consider the victims of 1968 occupation of Czechoslovakia, simply for sensitive souls of artists, it was simply too hard to accept that the country was not free anymore.
Jiří Trnka left an indelible mark on Czech culture, helping to embody a distinct visual palette not just for Czech stories and fairy tales, but also bringing to life the works of Shakespeare or Lewis Carroll. During his life, Trnka received global recognition of his talents a number of times, in 1968 winning the Hans Christian Andersen Award for his illustrations of children's books, as well as being recognized at film festivals in Venice and Cannes. Michal Bregan summed up Trnka's style.
Look at his films, each film is different, maybe lyrical, but not sentimental, and there is always a certain sense of humor. So maybe this combination of lyricism and humor is something that is quite typical for Czech fairy tales. You can always feel the position of this artist in his own work.
Helena Trosterová added that quality was a guiding principle for her father.
My father's chief guiding principle was that children's stories should be done with great quality. He liked children, and that was the spark behind his work. And I think that if someone has ability and undertakes the execution of their talents in an honest and well-thought-out way, then the results should be self-evident. That edition of Czech History Profiling Animator Jiří Trnka was prepared and presented by Dominik Jun. Now we'll wind up today's half hour from Prague with another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series ABC of Czech, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning.
From head to toe, that is how we explore the Czech language in our program. More precisely, we concentrate on Czech idioms which refer to parts of the human body. Our focus today is on the word krk, which translates as both neck and throat. So if you say
bolí mě v krku,
you have a sore throat, but if you say
bolí mě za krkem,
it means you have a stiff neck. In popular phrases, the neck symbolizes something that bears a burden. Such as in the idiom
mít něco na krku,
to have something on your neck, which can be translated as to be lumbered or saddled with something. The exact opposite is
mít něco z krku,
literally to have something off your neck, meaning to have something off your hands, to be done with something.
Mít někoho z krku
is to have somebody off your back, especially a person who tends to
viset někomu na krku,
to stick to someone and burden them with their presence. But idioms containing the word krk also arise in situations related to eating. If the breadwinner in the family says
musím živit pět hladových krků,
it means he has five mouths to feed. The phrase
už mi to leze krkem,
literally it crawls up my throat, means I'm sick and tired of it. The expression mít něčeho až po krk, to be fed up with something, probably has a similar origin. Another idiom,
být v něčem až po krk,
to be up to one's neck in something, usually implies unpleasant things, such as debts or troubles. Historically, the neck also signifies something easily vulnerable, often in phrases referring to the practice of decapitating.
Přijít o krk,
to lose one's neck, means to die, to be killed. If someone's life is in danger, Czechs might say,
jde mu o krk.
His life is at risk, it may cost him his head. Adventurers and brave people often risk their lives.
Nasazují vlastní krk,
or literally put their neck at risk. A similar expression is,
dám na to krk.
I can bet my own neck, I could swear to it. But that is only a saying, no one really means it today. As we said earlier, what Czechs refer to as
krk
sometimes means throat in English, such as in the idiom
položit někomu nůž na krk,
or hold a knife to someone's throat, threaten somebody at knife point, meaning to give them an ultimatum. Of course, there are many more expressions containing the word
krk,
but we are running out of time, I'm afraid. But before we sign off, we'll give you something to practice until next time. It is a popular Czech tongue twister.
Strč prst skrz krk.
Or thrust your finger through your throat. Thanks for listening and please don't hurt yourselves while you practice.
Naschledanou! Pavla Horáková with that edition of ABC Radio Prague's Czech language course. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. And you can also write to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.